The Legend of Countess Bertha, written by Alexandre Dumas, narrated by Virginia Ferguson. Foreword. First and foremost, I must inform you, dear children, that I had travelled much over the years, and I now plan to write for you a book called The New Robinson Crusoe, which, of course, could not compare to Daniel Defoe's work, but will be no worse than others published later. Thus, during one of my journeys, I was travelling by steamboat down the Rhine and gazed upon the ancient castles, whose ruins pepper the shores of this river, each with its own past. Suddenly, much to my surprise, I saw a castle not listed in my travel guide. I turned for information to one Monsieur Tattenberg, who was born in 1811, like that poor king who never got to see his kingdom. "That is Castle Witzgaff," the man replied. "It belonged to the Rosenberg family. In the 13th century, it was nothing but ruins, but was rebuilt by Count Osmond and Countess Bertha. An odd legend is associated with this event, but it is not of any interest to you. It's nothing but a children's tale," my companion added. I protested his assertion, and to prove my fondness for fairy tales, pulled from my pocket a small volume including Little Red Riding Hood, The Donkey's Hide, and The Bluebird. Then my companion decided to tell me his tale. Since title is very important to a fairy tale, I asked Monsieur Tattenberg to tell it to me first, which he did before he began his story. Chapter 1. Introducing Countess Bertha. Once upon a time, there was a brave knight by the name of Osmond Rosenberg, who married a beautiful young woman called Bertha. The countess could not compare to the noble ladies of our era. She spoke only German, could not sing an Italian, could not read an English, and danced neither galop, nor waltz, nor polka. She was, however, kind, tender, and compassionate, and made certain nothing stained her reputation. Whenever she passed through her villages, purse in hand, helping generously those who needed it, the warm expressions of gratitude from the elderly, the widows, and the orphans were far more pleasant to her than the most melodious ballads of the most famous minstrel, whose skill was often rewarded in gold by the same people who refused a copper penny to a poor vagrant. Chapter 2. The Kobold. The blessings of the peasants brought happiness to Bertha and her husband. Their field rippled with splendid grain. Their vines were burdened by enormous grape clusters. Whenever a dark cloud appeared over the castle, threatening a storm, lightning or hail, an invisible breath of wind carried this cloud away to the dwelling of some wicked knight, where it produced formidable devastation. The land of Count Osmond and Countess Bertha was spared, thanks to the kobold. I must mention that a tribe of small, kindly spirits used to dwell in Germany. They were no more than 6 inches in height and were called the kobold. Unfortunately, they have all become extinct by now. The kobolds lived most happily in the castles, whose owners were known for their kindness. These spirits hated wicked people and did their best to vex them, whereas they protected good people. This is why Count Osmond and Countess Bertha enjoyed particular fondness of the kobold residing at the Witzgaff Castle since time immemorial. Chapter 3. The Old Castle. One time, Bertha said to her husband their castle was very frail and on the verge of collapsing into ruin. Thus, in her opinion, construction of a new castle was in order.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?